Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, we got to take you all the way to the UK to give you some of the latest news on Montana. I feel like we should be like BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three. A little Austin Powers action for you here this morning. Yeah, a couple of interesting reports out of the UK. First up, if you haven't seen it or hadn't heard about it, the UK Daily Mail, as we approach the second anniversary of the China spy balloon fiasco tomorrow, second anniversary of the China spy balloon hovering over Montana and the start of that fiasco, the UK Daily Mail has a report that just came out a few days ago, shocking inside account of Chinese spy balloon fiasco and what the government did not tell you. They quote the former general in charge of NORAD basically saying, yeah, there were some other government intelligence agencies that had information about the China spy balloon entering U.S. airspace, and they didn't even tell us. They didn't even tell me, the commander of NORAD, until it was well within U.S. airspace. And so Larry Mayer, the great photographer with the Billings Gazette, who took that photograph of the China spy balloon that went viral and broke that story wide open, he talked about how he got basically kind of these threats and this intimidation from the Biden Defense Department at the time, who was trying to protect the Biden administration in the midst of that embarrassing fiasco with the China spy balloon. And so they were threatening and intimidating, you know, people like Larry Mayer to stop reporting the facts. But what this UK Daily Mail report shows is that what Larry Mayer was reporting at the time was exactly right, was spot on. And yet here was the Biden, you know, Defense Department spokespeople telling him, oh, this is untrue, this is inaccurate. You know, we're going to come after your organization to get you to report the facts, et cetera. So that's very interesting. There's another UK paper that did a report on Montana here. This is the UK Guardian. Now, the Guardian is a left-wing liberal rag. So the Guardian comes to Kalispell, Montana to do a hit piece on Kalispell, Montana. Here's their headline. A Montana town is waging war on its unhoused citizens. One shelter is fighting back. And so you guys, we've talked at length about the problems with the transients and the crime and the intimidation facing people just trying to go for a walk near the shelter in Kalispell because of just this invasion of transients and the mess that's been left on, you know, the doorstep of nearby homes and businesses. Well, the left-wing UK Guardian is coming in, trying to take shots at city leaders in Kalispell and county leaders who are trying to fix this problem. And one of the people they featured in their sob story, as MontanaFirstNews.com reported first, is a sex offender. This is the centerpiece of the UK Guardian's sob story. We'll talk about that and more right after this.
Securing America.
This week, the Senate Armed Services Committee held a hearing on reforming the process of defense innovation and acquisition. Rhode Island Democrat Jack Reed summed up the challenge this way.
Time and time again, we have heard the system is too slow, too rigid, and too outdated to keep pace with the changing world.
While Mississippi Republican Roger Wicker expressed urgency.
We must change the way the Pentagon does business. Otherwise, there's no way we can maintain deterrence, particularly against China.
Witness Shyam Sankar, the chief technology officer at Palantir Technologies, testified that the way defense contractors work also needs to change.
They resemble state-owned enterprises instead of the innovative, founder-driven companies that they once were.
He says the key to improvement is increasing competition, while Senator Wicker reminded the hearing the U.S. must maintain peace through strength. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
On Thursday's Montana Talks, we had the weekly legislative update. We heard from Republican leadership. We heard from Democrat leadership. Friday's Montana Talks, let's try to plan on an open lines Friday because we want to hear from you. We'll try to keep the phone lines open, but you never know. We may have a big guest that we book at the last minute. Either way, we want to give you the opportunity to talk on the phone lines or by sending us a message on the app. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk statewide, 9 to 10.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org, brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is House Call for Health. A tuberculosis outbreak in Kansas has killed two people. Health experts in the state are warning about a year-long outbreak. It's not uncommon to see a handful of cases, but the deaths are a bit more unusual. Tuberculosis, which spreads through the air, typically affects the lungs. Symptoms can include cough, pain in the chest, and coughing up blood or phlegm. Right now, nearly 70 people are being treated for the contagious bacterial disease, many of them in the same county. While they're highly concerned, health officials say they've been getting the outbreak under control. According to the CDC, the tuberculosis vaccine is not commonly used in the U.S., but is used more often on children in other countries where the disease is more prevalent. In fact, TB is the most deadly infectious disease worldwide. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Permission to speak freely. You have permission to speak freely here on Montana Talks. 406-294-0970. We've got the phone lines open right now. And pretty as it stands right now, we might get a phone call from Flathead County Commissioner Brad Abel talking about this UK Guardian hit piece, talking about the transient problems in Kalispell. But other than that, I mean, barring a phone call from him, we've just got phone lines open for you for the next 2 hours here on this Open Lines Friday show. But to me, back to this UK Daily Mail piece talking about the China spy balloon, it looks like now that the Biden regime is gone and the Trump administration is in, people like General Van Herk, others inside of our government, they now have permission to speak freely. I mean, we saw right here in Montana what a fiasco the China spy balloon, and it was symbolic of what a fiasco the entire 4 years of the Joe Biden, John Tester regime truly had been. The devastation as a result of our open borders and what the drug cartels have been doing to our state. Biden's own FBI director talking about the blinking lights, about how there are more threats facing this country across the board than ever before. It was the way he was kind of describing it, at least in a very long time here. But now, what I think will be interesting to see, just like General Van Herk's comments now are showing us that everything Larry Mayer was reporting 2 years ago about the China spy balloon and in follow-up reports and everything we were talking about here on this show was accurate and was right on point. But think about it. Now these people throughout the whole of government have permission to speak freely. They have permission to say, hey, guess what else was happening? Here's what else was going on. I mean, we're seeing this in the aftermath of the D.C. Plane crash and the collision with the Black Hawk helicopter and the American Airlines jet. That, look, everybody knew something like that was bound to happen in this country because of Pete Buttigieg and the woke DEI policy failures and the gutting of air traffic controllers and the gutting of our pilots and our aviation industry and the discrimination, the racial discrimination that's been taking place, that's gutted the numbers of both, you know, pilots and then the COVID stupidity that gutted the number of pilots and air traffic controllers. And so with all the near misses we've seen in the past 4 years alone, we knew that a tragedy like this was bound to happen. But with regard to this whole concept of now people like General Van Herk and others feel they have permission to speak freely. Well, first off, they could have spoken a little more freely in the last 4 years and stood up to this administration and stood up to this regime while they were in the midst of undermining American national security and much more. But nonetheless, how much more are we going to find out? Just like the Trump administration in week one, as he promised, promises made, promises kept, Donald Trump came out and said, yeah, here's what was happening with the drones over New Jersey. Now, you know, now they can say, okay, here's what was happening with this. Here's what was happening with that. Our friend John Jackson, the Joker from X, who joins us every Tuesday on the show, he had a great tweet that he sent out last night, and he said this: we think we know how bad the Biden years were. We don't. Expect to be horrified over the next 6 months as the Trump team begins turning over the rocks. Gigantic cockroaches are going to come scurrying across the kitchen floor, way more and way bigger than even we think. Which is exactly why, you know, any Senate Republican that is standing in the way of any President Trump, of President Trump's nominees, needs to get their act together ASAP, because President Trump, as we've seen in Washington this week, needs his team in place on day one, day two, hour one, hour two, because it was like 2 hours after he was sworn in as Secretary of Transportation that Secretary Duffy had a massive crisis on his hands, a crisis that had been in the making for years. Let's go into the phone lines. We got Mike in Big Timber first up. Mike, what's going on?
Request permission to speak freely.
Yeah, you've already got it. Yeah, what's going on?
Well, the last time John Jackson was on, he mentioned something about businesses should pay a penalty for hiring illegals. And David Noble mentioned the same thing. How about if these tax cuts come through in legislation, these businesses don't get a tax cut or a property tax cut for the owner of the business? That would be a great, you know, a great way to send a message to other people: do not hire illegals.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, I would hope that already, I would think and hope that the Trump administration has changed. So like when businesses hire people and, you know, you have to do the forms and, okay, put your birth certificate here. Are you a U.S. citizen or whatever? The Biden regime was telling them, no, you don't have to get a Social Security number. No, just enter in all zeros on that part of the form, so that basically if you were an employer that did not want to hire an illegal alien, how are you supposed to check? How are you supposed to know? Now, we know that there were some nefarious actors that were doing it because they wanted to cheat the system and they wanted to pay cheap labor, right? But there were others who wanted to do it the right way and got, you know, told not to or punished by the Biden administration. So I would hope that they've already made that fix alone, right?
You would hope, but anybody can lie on an application. And how many, how many employers actually dig deep into a person's background?
Yeah, good question. Good question. I know the Montana legislature is eyeing legislation on that very front as well, to crack down on the people that are employing
them. This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Right now I'm sitting on an IKEA chair, tapping on the keyboard of a Dell laptop. My internet service comes from T-Mobile. My clothes were delivered by Amazon. In a moment I'll drive to my office in a car made Hyundai and burning gas that was refined by Exxon. I say this not to collect product endorsement fees from all those companies. Hey, that's a great idea. But to point out a simple fact. Corporations, yes, out-of-state corporations, have made our lifestyles possible. Ever since the demise of Anaconda Copper Company decades ago, Montana has been a state that professes a distaste for corporations, or big business, or whatever you want to call them. And since we're not home to many large companies, that disdain is directed out-of-state. But the fact that so many of the goods and services we consume every day are made by corporations we disparage is not the triumph of evil that some make it out to be. It's a story of success, of larger companies taking advantage of size and scale to turn out cheaper, better, more standardized products that we can afford. I'm Patrick Bunke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's January 31st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Backward Day, so that means go out and do things a little bit backward today. So wear your sweater inside out, or perhaps you should have dessert for breakfast and breakfast for dessert. You could even try walking backwards as part of your daily workout. Also on this date, in 1865, the U.S. Congress passed the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery by an overwhelming margin of 121 to 24. Scotch tape was first marketed by the 3M company in 1928. And in 1949, the first daytime soap opera, These Are My Children, aired in Chicago. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the first African-American to break Major League Baseball's color line, Jackie Robinson, born in 1919. Scandal actress Kerry Washington, born in 1977. And singer Justin Timberlake, born in 1981. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot. Are you?
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, we do have Flathead County Commissioner Brad Abel on the phone lines with us right now. Commissioner, thanks for messaging us on the Montana Talks app yesterday, because I saw this story. I think somebody shared it on X. I think it was published by MontanaFirstNews.com, which does oftentimes have some very good information that you're not seeing anywhere else. So I appreciated whoever shared that on X. And then when I got the message from you, also as a secondary confirmation of this, it's like, oh yeah, let's get this on the radio for sure here. But hey, thanks for joining us.
You bet, Aaron. Good to talk to you again. Yeah, we were shocked when, you know, their Guardian article, we found out yesterday morning that back in 1998, when he was, I guess, 30 years old, he fondled a 4-year-old girl and was, you know, he's a registered sex offender here in Montana. And this is kind of what we said, you know, back when we wrote our letter, that a lot of these people that are coming into our community as homeless, they're wanted. They have, you know, they could have a warrant for their arrest or things like this going on in other places, and they come here because they hear we take care of, we have services here, and we kind of wanted to let it know that these kind of people weren't welcome here.
Yeah, for those who maybe just more recently started listening to this show, we've been, you know, covering this transient crisis, much like we've been covering the invasion of illegal aliens into Montana and the Mexican drug cartels. We've also been covering this invasion of transients. Now, it's been happening for decades in cities like Missoula with their very liberal policies. Look, we're all about taking care of the homeless and those that are in our communities that fall on tough times, right? And there's some great programs that do that very thing, that have accountability built in place, you know, and you get single moms who are out on the streets. But instead, what very liberal cities like Missoula do is they say they create all these incentives and they give all these freebies and all these handouts and all these programs for so-called homeless, that what ends up happening is they end up being a recruitment ground for all these transients from these other states, Eugene, Oregon, Boulder, Colorado, and then it basically ends up being a recruitment ground for these transients, oftentimes the criminal element of transients. And you know, the people are very generous in giving in the Flathead Valley in particular as well, and so as a result, you know, it's led commissioners like you and other city leaders to say, hey, we got to look at refining and adjusting what we're doing here, because we're starting to see some of the problems like they've seen in Missoula, right?
That's correct. You know, when I became a commissioner in 2021, the warming center was just coming online, and it sounds like a good idea on the outside. We're taking care of people. They said that 70% of the people are their customers are locals. Well, that means 30% aren't. And we came out and said there was a network group that were, you know, they look and know where they can receive benefits. And our community was given lots of benefits. We'd like those benefits to stay for those truly needy in our community. And this proves that they're bringing people in. I mean, this guy's from Florida. I don't know where he came from beyond that, but instead of taking this guy, they tell us that he's a wildland firefighter, make him sound, you know, he's got a cowboy hat. He looks like a Montanan, got his dog and all this. Well, instead of trying to find him a job, I mean, I would think right now California has a need for wildland firefighters. Let's help him go there and help fight the fires there. But they want him here because there's money, there's business. Our organizations like this are making big money, making big salaries to house these homeless people. I don't really believe they care that much about them, but they're looking at their paychecks. I mean,
there's some that do a great job doing it.
Payroll.
There's some that do a great job doing it. But yeah, we see this often in the NGO space, in the nonprofit space. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem has been on, you know, Fox News and elsewhere talking about, you know, defunding these NGOs that are profiting off of this human trafficking operation on our southern border, and not funding the very organizations that are leading to the demise of America. And in a similar fashion, just like you see people, you know, organizations profiting off of the, you know, the open borders that we've seen here recently, and profiting off of the drug cartel fueled human trafficking operation, there are NGOs and nonprofits who also see dollar signs when it comes to you know, profiting off of the transient invasion as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, California, my understanding is they spend $24 billion to take care of their transients. You know, they're laying off firefighters to build homeless shelters. And, you know, I made the comment in the Guardian article. I said, we've reduced homelessness in the Flathead by 30%, and we didn't spend a dime. We wrote a letter and said, you're not welcome here. And, you know, they asked me, well, how dare you? Where did those people go? And I said, I hope they went someplace warmer, because I said, Northwest Montana is a poor place to be homeless in the middle of the wintertime.
Yeah. If you build it, they will come. And how many people have been complaining about high housing prices, high rent? Well, the more you invite, you know, things like this, it makes it harder on everybody. And then when you inject crime into the equation and people, I mean, just tell us some of the complaints that you had fielded, that you had heard about, you know, firsthand. As a result of this transient element, you know, trash on front doors of businesses and homes, and, you know, people going for walks, getting intimidated by some of the transients.
Well, I had grandmothers calling me up saying they can't walk on our trails because they're accosted by homeless people. You know, in the neighborhoods around the warming center, you know, those people that have homes that are worth $500,000. They can't, you know, they have to keep their doors locked, and they have people living under the bushes behind their house that were turned down to get into the warming center, and it's destroying their property values. You know, the crime going on, and it's centered in a real small area, and when the warming center shuts down in the spring, their crime problems go away, but as soon as they open back up in the fall, here they come again. But the warming center wouldn't own up that these people were coming from there.
Now, I understand there's a lawsuit that we're in the middle of right now, and they're arguing that, well, the city didn't have a right to take away the permit, or the city didn't follow the proper process before taking away that permit. I think that's what the other side is saying. But that aside, I would think that there's other mechanisms on top of that to say, okay, permit or no permit, who is funding these operations? Because like you see in places like Missoula, oftentimes it's taxpayer funds, it's our own money that's being used to recruit these problems into our own communities. But yeah, this is interesting. So back to the story here that Commissioner Abel is talking about. So this is from MontanaFirstNews.com. Recently, The Guardian wrote an article about the Flathead Warming Center located in Kalispell, Montana. Many portions were debatable. However, one interesting fact was overlooked altogether. And of great interest is the truth concerning the man who is the featured advocate of the warming center. And then they reported that apparently this man is a convicted sex offender from an incident where he attacked a 4-year-old girl in Florida. And so, but yeah, what I find, you know, what I think's worth pointing out here is that the most of the media is so biased to the left. And they've been trying to trash the Flathead County Commissioners and the City Council and the mayor over this topic for years, that they're so quick to just follow that liberal open borders, yeah, bring all the transients in mantra, that of course they get sloppy with their reporting.
Well, that's what I see. I mean, is this the fellow that they picked to feature in their article? He's their poster child, and then they haven't done any background. They haven't looked into any truth about him, but they see somebody that on the outside appears to look like he's from Montana. You know, he, like I said, he's got his cowboy hat and his dog and they try to make these people appear normal and people that you are upstanding citizens in, and a lot of times that's our transients. They came from someplace because they weren't welcome there. And we don't want them to be welcome here if they have these kind of problems with them. We want to use these resources for our local people. We have a heart for our local people that are falling on hard times through no fault of their own. And one of the things, like I said, when I first came into office, I was told by Tanya Horn at the Warming Center that I think they spend an average of $67,000 for homeless person to take care of them. I mean, that's more than the average wage earner in Flathead County, I believe, makes.
Yeah, yeah, and then...
And we're giving them those kind of public dollars.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And then you look at, the immigration holds in some of our jails. There's a dozen of them in the Gallatin County jail earlier this week. And how much is that costing every day? It's crazy. While the rest of us have to go to work to pay all these bills. Commissioner Abel, greatly appreciate your phone call. Thanks for putting a spotlight on this topic. And we are happy to be a place where we can get the truth out, especially in the midst of just incredible left-wing media bias that's always trying to attack our local folks here in Montana. Clint in Bozeman next up on the phone line. Stand by, Clint. You'll be first up after this. Well, it's...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, lots to talk about here this morning on the show. I definitely want to talk about Kash Patel, who's just this incredible nominee to be the director of the FBI. Looks like, you know, they didn't lay a glove on him yesterday, as Ted Cruz was pointing out. The guy is just rock solid. I love how they call him the conspiracy theorist. Dick Durbin and Adam Schiff, the guy who lied about Russia, 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 they're calling Kash Patel the conspiracy theorist. Anyway, a great back and forth with Kash Patel and Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. He was here in Montana a few times last year campaigning alongside Montana Senator Tim Sheehy. I'm going to save that audio for the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, we got a whole bunch of other things to talk about, but we want to hear from you. We've got the phone lines open for you. We're doing a bit of an open lines Friday today. The only real scheduled guest was I figured we would get a phone call there from Flathead County Commissioner Brad Abel. And so, yeah, the rest of the time is for you and your calls, 406-294-0970. Clint in Bozeman, next up. Good to hear from you, Clint. What's on your mind?
Well, I got to ask you a question, Aaron.
Uh-oh.
When you go out shopping or one thing or another and go into different stores, do the people recognize your voice?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I'll get that. You probably get the same thing, though, don't you?
I sure do, and I gotta say hello to the folks down at the Gallatin County Treasurer and at Rosar's and at Caterpillar and other stores in town that recognize my voice and ask me questions and one thing.
Oh, later. That's awesome. They're like, hey, are you Clint? You should bring your birds with you, those fancy birds you got. You should be, but they're pretty quiet this morning, by the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Bud, he's an African great parrot, and sometimes he'll start talking and you can't believe what he says. But anyway, what I called about this morning is this. Here in Bozeman, along the 191, the housing that is going up there, I've never seen housing quite like it. They're four stories high, some of them, and they're all funded by corporate America. The corporations have come in here to this valley, and they're funding the local banks fund some. Security Bank and some of the others do. I know that here at Four Corners, First Security Bank is funding an apartment complex here right by the Four Corners. And that's a local bank, a Glacier. But anyway, what's happening here, I talked to these people that are in motorhomes. Some of them motorhomes cost $250,000. And I talked to them.
Yeah,
and
you got a nice, a really working. Nice one. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and they're working, and they can't afford to rent an apartment. Now, I got two granddaughters in Bozeman. One is paying $1,700 and some a month, and the other one's paying around $2,000 a month, and they have no children for a two-bedroom apartment. But they have good jobs, and they're not college graduates. But I rent to a college graduate here at my place, a little house that I have that I rent to her, and she pays $900, and I pay the sewer and water, and she just barely makes it. And she's a very intelligent woman.
Yeah, and of course, you haven't even gotten into the property taxes yet. We know what a nightmare that can be as well. No, it's crazy when you think about it, and that's why, you know, hey, a lot of Montanans, we don't like, you know, the new, you know, big apartment buildings or the, you know, or all the smaller homes and that are, you know, so densely built in the same areas like that area near Costco. Man, they've really filled that in Bozeman too, haven't they, over the recent years? And so, you know, everybody wants to keep their open space. They want to keep the open land, especially the farmland and the ranch land. And they don't like all the big apartment complexes moving in. But on the other hand, like, we've all got family and friends that also need to get into a home of their own and know what a struggle that can be. And at the end of the day, we just need more housing. I mean, the Flathead obviously has had tremendous, incredible growth as well. I mean, like that drive from Columbia Falls to Kalispell. And, you know, you'll still see it driving to the show one day is, you know, from Columbia Falls into towards Kalispell. And, you know, beautiful elk herd running across the road as I was pushing south. But now there's a lot of homes being built in that same area where that elk herd still runs through to this day. Billings, for example. Man, if you haven't been to Billings in a while, the west end of Billings, there are so many massive, I guess you could call them high-rise. From a Montana standpoint, they're high-rise. So many apartment buildings in that, you know, Shiloh Road, King Avenue kind of area that it's just like, my goodness, it's like apartment buildings as far as the eye can see. It's like, why do they put them all in one spot? Why not put, you know, a few here, a few over there, a few over there? Instead, you just have like this massive apartment complexes. It reminds you of like, you know, Chicago, and you'd be on the Dan Ryan, and there's these high-rise apartments lining the freeway. And so, yeah, you'd think that they would kind of spread it out a little bit more. But at the end of the day, that's the That's how high the demand is for housing right now. Clint, great to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go next. Chris in Columbia Falls, great to hear from you, Chris.
Yeah, if you have not picked up the magazine, Pure West Real Estate.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll open your eyes up to a lot of what's going on up here in Columbia Falls.
Some beautiful properties, too, and homes, yeah.
These aren't apartments. Getting to my subject, though, I want to congratulate Pierce Sharp, One America News. Don't know if you saw it, but he gave a good discussion on something that's been only discussed mostly on this program, and that this is not a democracy, it's a republic. How many times have that's we gone right. through that one?
Yeah.
He did an excellent job on that, and if anybody can get and watch that, he mentions Dan Smooth, those back in the 60s. But my scout troop would be just pleased as punch to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, Troop 553, the Rattlesnakes in San Diego. So I hope this is a step in the right direction to improve the Boy Scouts of America. You know, when Donald Trump is up there on the stage, they start to play that song, YMCA.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what that means? Young Men's Christian Association?
Oh, good point.
We got away with it. They never harassed him on that one.
So what do the Boy Scouts have to do with America being a republic, not a democracy? Just for those of us that may not be able to read through the lines.
I was their troop leader, and I had a section in there where I taught the kids to be Boy Scouts, to be patriotic Americans. And
that's
Constitution
awesome.
And all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and the fact that we are a republic, not a democracy, is so important. Whoever ends up getting in as the Secretary of Education, well, first off, let's get rid of the Federal Department of Education and block grant at the end of the stage. But if it still remains in place, that needs to be integrated, embedded, and stressed at all levels of our education system, because so many people just don't get it. We've talked a few times this week about the Yellowstone County Commissioners meeting earlier this week where, you know, they're offering up space. Hey, ICE. Hey, President Trump, if you need a place to temporarily house some illegal aliens before you quickly fly them the heck back where they came from, here's an option. And so, of course, all these left-wing activists were showing up at the county commissioners meeting because they want to defund ICE. They want to stand in the way of all these efforts. Well, one of the signs, they had all these phony AstroTurf signs that you could just tell the whole thing was staged by these left-wing groups, right? One of the signs says, democracy, remember? And I'm like, okay, even if you don't get the fact that we're a republic and not just a democracy here, what in the world does democracy have to do with the fact that people are here illegally, and when we find them, we deport them and get them out of here? Republic, democracy, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't mean that you just get to walk into this country and start killing our people and dealing drugs or even good things under an illegal status. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Lee in Kalispell. Lee, what's on your mind?
Yes, this deals with the differences between Biden and Trump and pardons, the presidential pardons. Okay, I'm being sarcastic, so just to let you know, and sarcastic means I'm saying the exact opposite of what I mean.
We will pardon you, don't worry.
So anyway, you had Trump pardoned a woman, a nurse, who stood in the doorway of a clinic, you know, abortion clinic.
Yeah.
And she was sentenced to 4 years and served a year in prison. Now, Biden, he pardoned a guy who was up on drug charges, and he kills an 8-year-old.
What a contrast. Sorry, we're just about out of time as we head to the break. What a contrast, though. Peaceful pro-life protester pardoned by Trump. Criminals who murdered FBI agents pardoned by Biden.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Allowing illegal immigrants into our country without vetting them. You know, 14, 15 million, whatever the number is. And now we have known terrorists, murderers, rapists, gang members, cartel members in the country. To this day, I don't even have a good explanation as to why the Democrats would do something to put our country at such risk. Americans have been murdered and raped, victims of violent crime. It has cost this country a fortune, providing food, housing, health care, education. I mean, it's impacted our criminal justice system. It's hurt our kids' educational opportunities. You know, we see the level of fentanyl has gone through the roof.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard. My friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. And with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or a free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, they use the same 5G network. So get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword save now and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250, keyword save now from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Republicans argue they have a mandate with the presidency plus control of the House and Senate. Yes, Republicans control 53 Senate seats, but Democrats held Senate seats in many true swing states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Arizona. That blocked a bloodbath, and the House majority soon dwindles to a single vote. And while President Trump handily won in the Electoral College, he did not get 50% of the popular vote nationally. So advancing anything legislatively is going to be a challenge. Frankly, Republicans may need help from Democrats on some issues like avoiding a government shutdown or lifting the debt ceiling. Quote, that mandate does not exist, said Democratic Florida Representative Jared Moskowitz on Fox. Quote, they barely have a majority, and if they want to work with us, I think they're going to find a willing partner. Democrats are recalibrating their approach for Trump 2.0. Quote, I think Democrats last time around just resisted the president on everything, said Moskowitz. And that's what Democrats are trying to figure out right now, when to oppose Republicans and when to join them. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Open lines Friday. Man, don't you just miss the great Rush Limbaugh and then that announcer with the open lines Friday. We're doing a little bit of an open lines Friday here today. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Time's getting a little short this hour of the show, so you may want to wait right at 9 a.m. or, you know, 9:06 after the national news updates is when we kick things off. You can call in. Maybe, you know, if we get a, you know, a call or two on the line before I even kick off the 9 o'clock hour of this show, we might just do a cold start, a cold open, where we just go right to a caller, and a caller gets to be the one to open up the show here on this Open Lines Friday, and then I'll rant and rave about whatever I'm going to rant and rave about after that. I want to talk about Cash Patel, this incredible nominee to be the director of the FBI. Tulsi Gabbard, did you guys see there was a tweet from Donald Trump Jr. about how many people signed this letter supporting, you know, service members either currently serving or, you know, old retired guys like me? I know I'm not that old, but either way, you know, it's so nice to say that I'm retired from at least one job. There was 1,100 plus veterans who signed a letter supporting Tulsi Gabbard's nomination as Director of National Intelligence. And I looked, my name is on that list. with my signature. That's fun to see. The Trump War Room shared that, and so did Donald Trump Jr. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you can see that as well. What was the tweet that I was really going to look for, though? There was something else that I was going to look for here. We'll get to it in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Here we go. So we got a message on our Montana Talks app. So if you don't want to call in, you can just message us as well. Matt in Kalispell says this regarding RFK Jr.'s confirmation. Vaccines. I'm not anti-vax, but when my first son was born in 2020 during the COVID lockdowns, I learned a lot about vaccine regulation. Upon his birth, they wanted to vaccinate him with a combination vaccine in one injection consisting of 40 vaccines. Is that really? Is that how they do it? Anyway, that's what Matt here in Kalispell is saying. The ingredients of each vaccine are analyzed by the FDA individually. Upon those tests, it is determined that each one contains a safe amount of each ingredient. The test goes no further. My concern is that combining 40 vaccines, which all individually have safe levels of each ingredient, are they safe once you've turned them into a big cocktail? That is exactly why Kennedy has my endorsement. That information is not readily available. That's from Matt in Kalispell. Matt, thanks for that message. I also think, like, if people truly care about science, if they truly care about health, why wouldn't you want somebody in a job that isn't afraid to question things, but also isn't afraid of the answer, but that isn't afraid to question some of these things and say, are we taking the right approach? Are we dumping too much of this stuff on our kids? And that's why I think you do see bipartisan support across the country, maybe not in the Senate, but bipartisan support across the country for RFK's confirmation. Hey, we've been talking about the cold temperatures that are coming in next week. It's going to get really cold. You're going to feel it coming through your windows for some of you. You're going to feel it. The chill. Well, right now, I got to tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company, because they have got an unbeatable deal for your windows. 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, check out their easy financing. No money down, no interest, and no payment until 2026. So seriously, upgrading your windows has never been easier. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation with YHIC, your home improvement company. 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. Call 406-948-2836 right now or go to YHIC.com. And again, no money down with their easy financing, no interest, and no payments until 2026. YHIC.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Right now, I'm sitting on an IKEA chair, tapping on the keyboard of a Dell laptop. My internet service comes from T-Mobile. My clothes were delivered by Amazon. And the moment I'll drive to my office in a car made Hyundai and burning gas that was refined by Exxon. I say this not to collect product endorsement fees from all those companies. Hey, that's a great idea. But to point out a simple fact. Corporations, yes, out-of-state corporations, have made our lifestyles possible. Ever since the demise of Anaconda Copper Company decades ago, Montana has been a state that professes a distaste for corporations, or big business, or whatever you want to call them. And since we're not home to many large companies, that disdain is directed out-of-state. But the fact that so many of the goods and services we consume every day are made by corporations we disparage is not the triumph of evil that some make it out to be. It's a story of success, of larger companies taking advantage of size and scale to turn out cheaper, better, more standardized products that we can afford. I'm Patrick Bunch.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.